that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Amen.
A generation ago, people considered the statement, "Your mother wears combat boots," to be an insult. Today, however, they consider it an honor. Last month, Ashton Carter, Secretary of Defense for the United States of America, announced that all military occupations and positions, including combat, are now open to females. 10 days ago, two Republican congressmen introduced a bill that would require females to register for selective service. Some say this is all simply a matter of fairness because men and women are equal. Others say it is foolish because men and women are not equal. Just over 1 year ago, the commissioner of the New York City Fire Department decided to graduate recruits who failed the functional skills training test, a test that emulates firefighting. Last May, the department graduated Rebecca Wax, who failed the test. Since then, the department has lowered its standards in order to accommodate female recruits. Again, some say it is unfair to have a standard that women can't meet. Others say that the standard simply reflects what is required in fighting fires. Some organizations do recognize differences between men and women. This is especially true in sport. However, there is controversy and confusion surrounding so-called transgender people. 2 years ago, Boyd Burton, a man who masquerades as a woman named Fallon Fox, fought a woman, Tamika Brents, in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Burton won the fight in 3 minutes' time, and afterward, Brents went to hospital with a concussion and a broken orbital bone. She needed 7 staples in her skull. Another Ultimate Fighting Championship fighter, Matt Mitrione, called Burton a lying, sick, sociopathic, disgusting freak. The UFC denounced Mitrione as transphobic and suspended his contract because he violated the organization's code of conduct. Last November, the International Olympic Committee changed its rules to allow, without restriction, women to compete as men, and to allow men to compete as women if they have had a certain testosterone level for a period of 1 year. The committee has stated, "The overriding sporting objective is and remains the guarantee of fair competition." Of course, this is all pagan and barbaric. Our society's current madness relating to gender is symptomatic of its rejection of God. St. Paul wrote, "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Men have turned their backs on God and his law, and so have no objective standard. Moreover, they are hostile to God, so they make their own laws, and they make them contrary to the law of God. St. Paul characterized unbelievers as having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. There are important distinctions between men and women, and we must recognize them and maintain them. The scriptures tell us So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. In the Christian view of things, it is a simple fact, hermaphroditism notwithstanding, that God has ordered the world such that a person is either male or female, and nothing can change that. The scriptures tell us this, and it is corroborated by scientific analysis. Males have XY chromosomes, females have XX chromosomes. When God made the first man, Adam, he placed him in the Garden of Eden, and he assigned him the task of maintaining the garden. God said that it was not good for the man to be alone, and that he would make an assistant that corresponded to him. None of the animals was like Adam, and so none was suitable for him. So God put Adam to sleep, took one of his ribs, and fashioned it into a woman. When Adam awoke, he saw that the woman was indeed like him, and he exclaimed, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." There have always been, and there always will be, only two sexes, male and female. But what is masculinity? What is femininity? There was a time when no one needed to ask such questions. People knew instinctively what masculinity is and what femininity is. Masculinity, of course, is a function of being a man, and femininity is a function of being a woman. A man's being masculine and a woman's being feminine ought to come naturally, and in a godly society, they do come naturally. In our ungodly society, however, they often do not come naturally. Many people are skeptical about notions of masculinity and femininity. They say that they are merely social constructs and that they vary from one society to another. Some parents fail to correct effeminacy in their boys and masculinity in their girls. Some even cultivate effeminacy in their boys and masculinity in their girls. So confusion reigns with respect to gender identity, gender expression, and gender roles. Although people cast doubt on ideas of masculinity and femininity and deny that men ought to be masculine and men ought to be feminine, they know what the traits are. Everyone recognizes a masculine man and a feminine woman. Everyone also recognizes an effeminate man and a masculine woman. People even call a masculine woman butch and an effeminate man femme. Nevertheless, unbelievers are, as always, attempting to overthrow God's created order. Of course, there is some cultural relativity in gender expression and in gender roles. However, to confuse masculine and feminine, to transgress the bounds that God has set, is an outrage and an offense to God. Recognizing masculinity and femininity is one thing. Explaining them is another. It is a bit like explaining yellow or sweet. Nevertheless, the scriptures do shed light on the matter. A man can be masculine without being either a husband or a father. A man does not need to be a husband to be masculine, but being masculine will make him a better husband. A man does not need to be a father to be masculine, but being masculine will make him a better father. In the simplest terms, masculinity is strength. It is strength in all ways, spiritual, mental, and physical. The Proverbs say, "The glory of young men is their strength." When King David neared the end of his life, he called to himself Solomon, his son and heir, and he charged him thus, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. A man demonstrates his manhood by being strong. St. Paul, concluding his letter to the Corinthians, exhorted them, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." That is, he told them, act like men and be strong. St. Peter gave men this counsel with regard to their wives. Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Many have attempted to explain this verse otherwise, but here the apostle calls the woman weaker. 17th century Presbyterian minister Edward Veal made this comment on the verse. Weaker than the husbands, and that both in body and mind, as women usually are. In Scripture, any instrument is called a vessel, and the wife is here called so, as being not only an ornament, but a help to the husband and family. This, he adds, as a reason why the husband should give honor to the wife, namely, her being the weaker vessel. Weak vessels must be gently handled. The infirmities of children bespeak their pardon when they offend. And those members of the body which we think less honorable, on them we bestow more abundant honor. It is a part of that prudence, according to which men should dwell with their wives, to have the more regard to them because of their infirmities, in bearing with them and hiding them, lest they should be discouraged if they find their weakness makes them contemptible. To be a man is simply put to be strong. Of course, a man might be physically impaired, but this does not render him effeminate. It is especially this trait of strength, though, that distinguishes man from woman, male from female, masculine from feminine. To be strong is also to be tough. Men are hard, and women are soft. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." The word effeminate here refers to the sodomite who is passive to an aggressive one, who is submissive to a dominant one. That is, the effeminate one plays the role of the female in the relation. The root meaning of the Greek word is soft. To be effeminate is to be soft. To be masculine is to be hard or tough. To be feminine is to be soft. St. Peter wrote that a woman's most important ornamentation is not external, but internal. It is her softness. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, he wrote, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. It is perverse for men to be soft and for women to be tough, and only a godless society approves of such perversion. To be masculine is to be tough. To be soft is not masculine. To be strong is also to be courageous. After Moses died and Joshua succeeded him as the leader of Israel, God said to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The masculine man is not only courageous in battle, but he is courageous to obey God's law at all times, no matter how difficult it might be. To be masculine is to be courageous. To be cowardly is not masculine. Generally speaking, men are physically stronger than women. This accounts for the continuing division between men's athletics and women's athletics. Generally speaking, men are also spiritually stronger. Because men are stronger, they are the leaders. In the Garden of Eden, the woman was deceived by the serpent. The man was not. St. Paul wrote to St. Timothy, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." So, St. Paul required that men lead and women follow. "But I suffer not a woman to teach," he wrote, "nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Of course, some will be quick to point out that the woman was not alone in sinning. The man also sinned. Yes, Adam sinned, but he sinned because he followed the lead of the woman. Because men are strong, they are the protectors. A woman might not be able always to count on a man to protect her, so she ought to be able to defend herself. Nevertheless, the role of protector belongs to the man. God told Moses, "Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies." The men composed the army. The law of Moses stipulated, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Here, the law forbids a man from wearing women's clothing, but it forbids a woman from using the tools or implements of a man. Of course, a woman may use tools, but women are not to take the role of men in using those tools, especially with respect to the implements of war. There are very good and practical reasons for excluding women from combat. Because men are strong, they are the providers. St. Paul wrote to St. Timothy, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." A woman may work outside the home, especially in the case of necessity, but the role of provider is the man's. if a woman goes out into the world to work with men, then she should also be prepared to fight men. None of this means that the woman is inferior to the man in worth. Both are made in the image of God and deserve to be treated as such. In fact, it is simply because men value women so highly that they lead them, protect them, and provide for them. If a man will not do these things, then he is no man. The medieval code of chivalry is founded upon the notion that men are stronger than the rest and protectors of those who are weaker. Léon Gautier, in his book Chivalry, summarizes chivalry with 10 commandments. Thou shalt believe all that the church teaches and shalt observe all its directions. Thou shalt defend the church. Thou shalt respect all weaknesses and shalt constitute thyself the defender of them. Thou shalt love the country in which thou wast born. Thou shalt not recoil before thine enemy. Thou shalt make war against the infidel without cessation and without mercy. Thou shalt perform scrupulously thy feudal duties if they be not contrary to the laws of God. Thou shalt never lie and shalt remain faithful to thy pledged word. Thou shalt be generous and give largesse to everyone. Thou shalt be everywhere and always the champion of the right and the good against injustice and evil. God created mankind, male and female. Their sexes express themselves in certain ways and are suited to certain roles. Men are strong, courageous, and tough. They lead and protect and provide. Let men show themselves to be men, and let the women let them be men. Now, thanks to the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come, because he has taken to himself great power and reigns. Amen.